Whenever I think of James' picture of the poisonous tongue that he discusses in James 3, in which this series reflected on several weeks ago, I think of the way that human gossip works, or the way in small groups we'll sometimes be tempted to speak uncharitably about others, our neighbors or so-called friends. I'm sorry to say, but it sadly seems like a preeminently churchy sort of text, where we do spend a lot of time talking, and sometimes to no good end, and sometimes even maybe to some evil ends, slander, malicious talk, or just that talk that only begets more talk. That's deadly, according to James. Maybe we could conclude that speech is really antithetical to James' conception of community. After all, he's the one who says, be doers of the word. Indeed, when we last heard James talk about the topic of human speech, it wasn't very encouraging. According to James, the tongue, so seemingly small, produces massive disasters. He writes, a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. Of all the creatures of the world, the tongue alone refuses to be tamed, James says. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. The speech that flows from the tongue is like well water contaminated with salt. It cannot produce potable water. And yet, according to James in our reading today, there are forms of speech that do produce good things. A positive view of speech in James may surprise us because we don't often associate this letter with speech. He's all about doing. However, in today's passage, James exhorts the community to form itself in non-abstract speech acts, including gathering for prayers among people who know pain, or offering songs of praise, and sharing confessions of sin, that the community might be reconciled, that it might actually and physically exist. Not least, he says, remember the stories of your ancestors as you face your own trials and tribulations. Elijah was just like us. In other words, speech that is peaceful, pure, gentle, and just contributes to the restoration of actual community. Maybe the kind of speech that's recommended in James chapter 5 is the antidote to the double-minded speech that is referred to in James chapter 3. The latter, he will say, comes from below, while the former comes from above. For James, there is a clear line of demarcation between the two. You know the difference by what they respectively produce. Wisdom from below produces division, disorder, and rancor. The other, wisdom from above, is pure and peaceable and gentle. It produces a harvest of righteousness for those who make peace, James chapter 3. So what is the source of this alternative existence? Like the prophets of Israel, the writer envisions the alternative community of faith as one that is forged in the image of God. The writer mentions Christ only twice in his writing, once in the greeting, James 1, verse 1, and as a warning against partiality in James chapter 2, verse 1. According to Luke Timothy Johnson, James writes for the formation of an intentional community that is formed in the image of God, and he is rigorous in supplying a theological warrant for the practices and politics of this community, with 24 explicit references to God in his 108 verses. And these references to God supply the driving force for the moral action that James recommends. So how do our speech acts as a community formed in the image of God reflect God's speech? For example, the mirror analogy of James chapter 1. Reading James' instructions on speech and community suddenly becomes almost revolutionary in its implications. It is deceptively simple. If someone is suffering, let them pray. If someone is happy, let them sing songs of praise. If someone is sick, Ask the elders to come and anoint them with oil and pray for their healing. Confess your sins to one another. Be reconciled. Be renewed. Be whole. Learn from people like Elijah, who was just like us and whose prayers were powerful and effective amid natural and political droughts. Restore one another to the community formed in God's image. I'd be remiss this morning if I didn't offer a word of thanks for the ways in which this community, all of you, supported me as I waited and then recovered from my recent surgery. You spoke into my situation. You spoke comfort and healing and restoration into my life through your care and concern and your prayers. I heard from my doctor on Friday last week, and the surgery was completely successful, and I can expect a full recovery. Speaking of the power of speech, the doctor used two powerful words. The first was the word cancer. That's a frightening word for anyone. He said renal cell carcinoma, to be specific. But he also used another more powerful word. Cured, he said. The surgery is your cure. And he followed that up with another appropriate word. Congratulations. While my physician's words had their power, the words of testimony from this community of faith were sustaining. God is with you, you said. You are loved, you reminded me. You prayed and participated in my healing journey. Kathy and I always knew that we were never alone. When we train clergy leaders for life of leadership in the church, we send them to seminary where they learned all sorts of theological language. We learn big words that point to big and important ideas about God and our life in God. And as Anglicans, we're probably guiltier than any other denomination in our use of churchy words and what we might describe as insider language, really. But James is reminding us today that all of our language, and perhaps most importantly our theological language, our talk about God, is meaningless apart from the way that it fosters human flourishing. Our speech should include coming alongside and testifying with those the powers call orphans, widows, and immigrants. James might say that testifying alongside those who are robbed, deported, or discriminated against is profoundly a theological act. One experiences a kind of simplicity in testimony of this kind. And likewise, the church born of this testimony reflects a form of God-shaped humanity, which flourishes against the grain in the context of a world where speech seems less meaningful and helpful each day. God bless us as we learn to speak and encourage and pray for one another. Amen.